I'm going to invite all of the mission folk to come up. That would be the Kosovo folks, the Gleanese folks, and the Ireland folks. We're going to hang out here on the chairs and just take our turn. And so if you're a part of the sharing this morning, you should know who you are. John, that's you. Come on up, and we're going to tell some stories from our missions.
Well, good morning, church. Last week, we finished the sermon series we were doing on the Sermon on the Mount, looking at the Beatitudes. And I just want to give you a little bit of a forecast for the next few weeks before we jump into our next book study. Today, as you can see, is a Missions Sunday, and we try and do this at least once a year. And I'll explain why in a moment, but next week, we're going to get to hear from Jim. He's going to take us into 1 John for a study. And then the following week, that will be the 16th of August, we're going to have an ordination Sunday where we're going to be ordaining David officially and getting to hear from him and pray over him and celebrate that. And so we've got an exciting few weeks coming up. Yep. An exciting few weeks in August. And then following that on the 23rd, we'll jump into our new study through the book of 1 Corinthians. And so looking forward to all that August holds for us. But today is a missions Sunday that we try and do once a year. Now, why do we do this? Well, first and foremost, it's to reinforce our primary mission as God's people. He has given us the Great Commission. He has called his people to go out into all the world and make disciples. In Matthew 28, we read this. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And so we take that Great Commission seriously. We want to continually every year reinforce that this is the mission God has given his people, to make disciples of all nations. And we want to spend a Sunday to celebrate the ways that God is working through our obedience to that mission, the ways that he's showing up overseas, but also even here outside our very front door. There's a mission. There's a call. And maybe you didn't go on these trips. That doesn't mean you weren't a part of the mission. As you prayed, as you supported financially, as you helped somebody else go, as you continue to go and share with your neighbors and serve in the church, these are all ways that we are on mission for making disciples. But before we hear from the three different teams, I want to share just briefly about missions here at Confluence Church. Because missions is not a separate ministry. There's not the youth ministry and the women's ministry and the men's ministry and then the mission ministry. All of it is the missions ministry. All of it is intended to make disciples and preach the gospel. So then, if it's all meant to do that, and there are more possible needs that exist out there than we could possibly meet, how do we decide what things we will do as a church? What places we will go and share the gospel, what people we will support and fund to go and do these things. It's an important question we have to ask as a church if we want to be a good steward of the funds that are here and the time and the energy and the people that are here. Then we need to ask these questions and have a clear answer. And here's, for us, how we decide who we will support and participate with in that Great Commission. First and foremost, we're going to support people that are theologically aligned with Confluence. People that we believe are getting their doctrine, their theology from Scripture, and there's an alignment there, there's an agreement there, especially around the fundamentals of our salvation. What's required for salvation? Who is Jesus? Is the Word of God the absolute authority? We're also going to look to partner with and support missions where the gospel is clearly and unashamedly proclaimed. That's not something secret and on the side that maybe we'll get around to at some point. That is central to what they're doing. The gospel is being preached. We want to support missions where disciples are being made. Not just where the gospel is going out as it needs to, but where there is follow-up and there is fruit and discipleship is going on and taking place with these people. We look to support those that are strengthening or planting a healthy local church in these places. Not just an individual that's going to go somewhere, but they're going to either plant a church or they're going to plug into a local church, because we believe that it's out of that local church that God does his work. And so we want to partner with those that are not going to work against the church or go out on their own, but are actually partnering with or planting a local church within that area. We're going to prioritize those that are teaching the Word of God faithfully, those who operate in a dependence upon the Holy Spirit for the work, those who demonstrate Christ's love practically in the way they meet the needs of those around them, and who operate with biblical accountability and integrity. Because our aim is not simply to fund projects overseas, we want to partner in the gospel ministry that produces lasting fruit. We want to see people come to Jesus and hear the truth of how they can be forgiven of their sins. And we believe that that missions, it flows naturally from a healthy church that is rooted in Scripture, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and committing to love God and love others. So as we have new opportunities that come up, new areas we hear of opportunity that we could partner with, we're going to ask the questions, okay, is the gospel central in that work? Is there a connection to a local church in what they're doing? Is there godly character and accountability there? Does the mission possess some existing relationship? Do we know these people? Do we trust these people? Can we count on what they're doing and that it's glorifying the Lord? And how can we partner with them, and what does that look like? And so you're going to hear from Kosovo. You're going to hear from the Gleaning Trip. You're going to hear from the Ireland team. And these are trips that we have scouted out. These are trips that we have looked into these things. And we can feel confident that where our team is going, the funds that we are giving, the work that's taking place is in alignment with God's word and is supporting the local church and is making disciples of Jesus Christ, because that's our greatest mission. But also we realize this is not just a mission overseas, right? It is to the nations, but it's also to your neighbor next door. When Jesus sent out the disciples in power, he told them that they would go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. But it started right there where they were at, and then it expanded from there, and it spread out from there. And so likewise, there's going to be a trip. Another trip to Kosovo, another trip to Gleanings, another trip to Ireland once a year. But I hope and pray you realize that is not the only mission work you should be a part of. That the whole rest of the year, there is a very real and present mission work right around you, in your neighborhood, in the schools around us, in your workplace, walking down the road and having a conversation with somebody, that we want to be just as deliberate and intentional about. So what are some of the local missions, before we hear from these folks, that we're a part of? How are we doing that well locally? In outreach and evangelism, well, we've got a shameless plug for you. On Saturday mornings, you can go with Dawn and you can go door to door and you can go around our neighborhood and you can share the gospel with people and have conversations and invite them to church. We've got Operation Christmas Child that we're going to continue to host every year in our gym to collect shoeboxes and send out gifts and the gospel. We've got a Munchkin Market that just took place where we're going to try and be a bridge to our community and support families in need and try and love on those around us and create a bridge to share the gospel. There's school and campus ministries that we host. On our property, we've got Legacy School and the preschool. We've got partnerships where we seek to support campus life and young life and CEF and FCA and homeless and mercy ministries, like the Gathering In homeless meal that we're going to continue to do. Acres of Hope and service projects that we've done with them. There are pregnancy resource centers like Living Well that we're going to partner with. Prison and addiction recovery like Project Heart. community service projects through F3, Convoy of Hope, toy drives, and partnering with ministries like Christian Encounter Ranch for work days, teaching at their spiritual emphasis week, or getting on a bike for 24 hours to do an agony ride and raise funds for them. But missions begins where God has placed us. This is our Jerusalem, Placer County. How are we being faithful to be on mission where God has placed us? And that's a question I want you to be asking, even as we hear about teams that have gone overseas. So I'm going to start by inviting up the Kosovo team over here. Paul's going to kick us off with our Kosovo team and sharing a little bit about the ministry that we were able to be a part of in Kosovo.
I guess I'll go first. So I'm going to speak for everyone on the stage. And you guys didn't say that we're going to be sitting up here the whole time being stared at. Nobody appreciates this because none of us went on mission to be up here as anything like, hey, look what we did. So went to Kosovo. I want to start out with, I would not put myself in the evangelistic category. Getting to Jesus in every conversation is not necessarily like my thing, which sounds kind of weird, and I should probably be convicted of that. I am. It's fine. So going to Kosovo, having conversations in coffee shops about Jesus is an extension of what I was doing here. And I can say with almost full assurance that the mission that everybody went on is just an extension of what they're already doing here. As Lucas said, this is going to sound like a broken record, there's so many mission opportunities here in your local community. And even though I was having a conversation with a friend on a bike ride, and he said, overseas missions, is that necessary? He's like, it sounds sexy, like it sounds cool, but is it necessary? I was like, well, yes, but to say again, I didn't write this down, I should have written this down. Lights are really bright. Say again, it's an extension of what we do here. And so I'm going to let Matt share a lot more detail. My exhortation to the church is get involved here. That could look like the Lord put somebody on your heart to have a conversation with, to go get coffee with. That could look like you don't want to serve in kids ministry, but your wife says, hey, we should serve in kids ministry, and you do it. That's how I got started, and for 13 years that I've been part of that, like, I didn't want to do it. Half the time, I still don't want to do it, full confession. Just being honest. I didn't want to go to Kosovo to evangelize the people. Like, I did. That does not necessarily excite me. But the reality is you show up, you're obedient to the Lord. You do what he tells you to do. You get in the reps, and everything becomes a lot easier. So church, Christian, number one thing to take away, don't underestimate your influence. Wherever you are, whatever conversation you're having, if the Lord prompts you to say something, say it. If the Lord prompts you to say, hey, can I pray for you about that? It doesn't matter if they're a Christian or not. Most people are going to accept that. Don't underestimate your influence. Jump into a ministry. Jump into discipleship. Discipleship could look like having a five-minute conversation, because the Lord's going to work through you if you're obedient. And it could lead to you going overseas, even though you don't want to necessarily. And that's good. That's a beautiful thing. That's all I have to share.
Raise your hands if you know where Kosovo is. All right, I'm a little surprised. Because I asked a bunch of people, and they were like, I have no idea. Even is that a country? So the picture you're looking at the time, so right now in that picture, there's 5 Americans and 3 Albanians. Only one of those Albanians was a Christian at this time. And yet the other two continued to show up to Bible study, to discipleship. Why? Because they loved them so well. And that's one of the things that, wow, I'm going to lose it really quickly. What's amazing, though, is so this picture was taken probably in the middle of May, about 9 o'clock at night. So this is women's Bible study. This is technically like the after party of a Bible study. So Bible study for them starts at 5. They do dinner. It's more like a home group. They do Bible study. Let's see, dinner, Bible study, fellowship, hangout. And then sometimes they'll go out and do something else afterward. So in this picture, the girl on the right, second from the right on the end in the purple shirt next to Christina, she gave her life to the Lord about a month and a half ago. That was about, what, 3 or 4 years of discipleship, Bible study, watering, planting seeds, because of the people in this other, in the picture. You've got three full-time missionaries, and one's a teacher at Pristina High School, in a way also a missionary. What was really good about this picture for me was that I didn't have to go because it was a women's Bible study. So I had ministry with my boys and Jordan and his boys. We went to the movies, we hung out, we did other ministry. Honestly, this trip for me was more about my kids, me with them all the time. And that's a ministry I feel like, right, as the church, we want to look outward relationally. You have to look inward. Look at your family. How are you being intentional with those relationships? Next picture. So, right, a lot of the ministry we did was relational outward. This is relational inward. So this is my son, Anthony, in the middle in the orange. And then you've got to his left, or my left, is Castriot. Castriot was a Catholic who gave his life to the Lord and wanted to be baptized. The other person to the other side of Anthony is Medina. Medina is, or was, a Muslim. So the gentleman between Anthony and Medina, who's praying for them, he is part of the, it's called IJR. I don't speak Albanian, so I can't tell you what that really means. Essentially, it's Campus Crusade. So she found this ministry on campus at the university in Pristina and started going to Bible study, walking with the Lord. Gave her life, and then, right, so to Castriot's other side in the tan shirt, the curly hair, that's Jordan. So what this picture for me symbolizes is you have someone who started ministry in with Campus Crusade and then found a local church, found Newborn. So that's a celebration in a lot of ways because you've got something that doesn't normally happen in Pristina, which is people sharing Christians. It's a weird thing to say. There's a very much a tribal mentality where the church says, these are my Christians, these are my believers. So Jordan has an opportunity to be something different. We have an opportunity the same way here. We are all the church. Whether you're here, other church in the community, we can celebrate Jesus together. What's also really interesting about this picture, neither Castriot nor Medina's family were there. Why is that? Because they were not really celebrated. Their family was there. They have the church family, but their family was not there. There is a high likelihood that as Medina continues to walk out her faith, that her family will reject her, have no financial support, be totally on her own. That's the reality of what it is to serve Jesus as a Muslim, leaving Muslim faith, becoming a Christian, and doing that in Kosovo. I talked to somebody who was gave his life to the Lord, I think, in 96. His family still doesn't acknowledge that he accepted the Lord years ago. That's a whole different level of suffering than I've ever experienced or even understand. Next picture. So the other part of this, the person in the black, obviously, who's not my family, that's Leary. Leary was born, you're going to have to help me, Anthony, June 11th, 1999. Who knows what happened June 11th, 1999? She's born June 10th. June 11th, Serbia surrendered. So her life is now marked by the surrender of Serbia to give Kosovo their independence. She sort of was adopted into our family. She's a barista in the coffee shop. She is a Muslim, does not know the Lord yet. I guess she kind of knows the Lord. She's also an unofficial Albanian teacher. And this picture is taken at a celebration of two American missionaries who went home. but were also a chance to celebrate just our time with Leary. I mean, the conversations that we have centered around all kinds of different things. And it's never, you're never pushing a Christian agenda. You're not like, well, you need to hear the gospel again every single day. It's how do we show up and be that emotional support? Because the two missionaries that left were her friends, her roommates. She's going through and having to go through a whole bunch of emotional things that maybe she wasn't fully equipped for. And that was part of our mission, was to be a support for that. I didn't sign up for that. It doesn't look like what normally missions looks like, but that's what we did, because that's what God called us to. We kept asking, what are we supposed to do? And the answer was always, love them well. And that looks like a lot of different things. And I love that the Lord continues to remind us, even now as we come home, how do we love people well? Because that's what's going to draw them to Jesus. That's going to be the open door for the gospel really going out, because it's going to be confusing. It was really confusing to Leary multiple times. Why would we go in a moving truck to her mom's house to help her unpack her things? Because we love Jesus and we love you. You've known me for 2 months. Doesn't matter. We love Jesus and we're going to continue to love you well. All right. That's all I got.
Well, howdy. That's what they say down south, I think. My name is David. I did not go to Kosovo. I led our team to Gleanings for the Hungry. We brought 14 people there, and Gleanings for the Hungry is a mercy ministry of Youth with a Mission, or YWAM. And their mission is to feed the hungry of the world, both physically and spiritually. And they do this by processing foods and sending it to their mission partners throughout the world. It's an incredible fact to think that a little old factory in the outskirts of Fresno, like tropical, it's beautiful, can have a global impact for the gospel. And so this is our third year. This was our third year going. And you know, what do we do there? This is not vacation. This is like far from vacation. This is a service trip where we take our high schoolers and we staff the peach factory for the whole week. We work hard in the field. We start each day at 7 a.m., so bright and early. We go to the field for field work. Then we transition to processing peaches in the factory. We cut them. We stack pallets. We lay them out to be dried. And it's a great, grand old time. I want to thank you guys for your support in sending us through prayer, through buying our world-famous hot dogs at our fundraiser. Each year, I'm blown away by God's faithfulness to bring us back to Gleanings. I get a front row seat and I get to watch God work in our young people's lives as they physically exert themselves as a labor of love for people they may never meet. We go to Gleanings to serve, but oftentimes God works on us too. He shows us what it means to serve with the strength that He supplies. He shows us that it is indeed better to give than to receive. And He shows us that we can have a global impact by serving in a local peach factory. He shows us that He loves us, and He will use us to extend His love and grace to a world that is lost. I love going to Gleanings because I get to see students' eyes open to the power of God. And it's a wonderful time. And you know, I was reflecting this morning about our trip, and I was reminded of a verse. It's an obscure verse. It's 2 Corinthians 7:6. I think I did that right. But Paul says, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by sending us Titus. And it's an idea of friendship, of shared suffering relieved by a friend. And every year we go with the same team. We go with a church in Newcastle and a church in Modesto. And it's fun seeing our friends and being in the 100-degree weather, working hard. But personally, there was a leader at another church who I recognized because I'm friends with her dad on Facebook. I was like, I know you, and I know your dad, because 8 years ago, I was on another missions trip in Austria, and this man was Filipino, and I was like, how many Filipinos are in Austria? That summer, there were two. So I got to meet him, and I connected the dots. He had gone to church with my parents before I was born. And it was one of those moments where it was like, wow, only God can orchestrate something like this, where I'm serving on a trip with you, and then years later, I'm serving on a trip with your daughter. And there's just that mutual affection for Christ. And so I was reminded that God has people all over the world working to extend his kingdom. And we get a glimpse of that every summer. There's a saying that, what is it? Misery loves company, and I'd like to redeem that a little bit. Ministry loves company. And we get to partner with friends and teammates and go serve the Lord in this way. So here's our stats for our week. We processed 502 bins of fruit, which equated to 209 stacks of trays, which was 27 pallets of dried fruit. Those 27 pallets of dried fruit consisted of 2,743 dried fruit, which equates to 111,892 servings of food. We also processed 4 pallets of packed black beans, and we had a lady quilting, and she made 7 quilts. And so we just exerted ourselves. We worked hard. We played hard. It was a great time. If you're interested in joining us next week, please find me after service. We already have the 2027 dates booked, and we would love for you to join us. I have a couple students and one of our chaperones coming to share as well. We're always looking for chaperones, so parents, if you're interested, please find me after, and we'll take you with us.
Hi, I'm Josiah Dykast. I'm 15 years old, and this was my second time to go to Gleanings for the hungry. I love Gleanings. It, to me, feels like a home away from home. The most impactful thing I did at Gleanings was the dried fruit station, though to be honest, it was the only thing I did there, so. There you inspect the dried fruit and pick out all the pieces of fruit that are still wet or that have splinters in from the pallets. All of this happens on a conveyor belt that drops the dried fruit into the boxes that we fill up and put in a hydraulic press to compact. It takes everyone there to stay attentive, and that was something I had to try a lot on. I would help in the inspection and the packing of the dried fruit. I feel like the hike on Thursday evening was one of the two most impactful things for me there. After having dinner, anyone who wanted to go would change from fancy dress clothes to hike-worthy ones, but that's beside the point. It was when I got to the top of the hill from the hike was where I got to witness the beauty of the sun setting by myself, away from any distractions. That's a thing that I would pay a pretty penny for, being alone in God's creation, where I could listen to him, even if it lasts for a short time. That's something I cherish. The other thing that impacted me hard was the companionship that I experienced with my team. There is that indescribable feeling I get when I can just be myself with my friends. We laughed, shared funny pickup lines, shared chips and energy drinks, and we showed each other who we really were under all those layers. The honesty I saw at Gleanings was unbelievable. I love that place to pieces, and I think you should come with us next year, even if the car ride is really long. Though at Gleanings, I sort of got something from, well, a sort of revelation from God, where I feel like I should go into the missions field. I'm not entirely sure how this is going to happen, but I just want some support from that.
Hey, I'm Sam, and first of all, I would like to mention, I don't know what Josiah is talking about when he talks about the long car ride. He was asleep the whole time. And in June, I went on the Gleanings mission trip for the second time as well. During and afterward, I couldn't shake from my head the value of sacrifice in the life of a Christian. I'm not saying we sacrificed much, we didn't, but the small sacrifice proved worthwhile. Now more than ever, we live surrounded by vain, worldly things, constantly trying to prove why they, more than each other, and chiefly more than God, deserve our attention, our care, and our worry. When the continual noise of these things is broken, wonderful things happen. It's amazing what a week of fellowship, work, late nights, early mornings, consistent prayer, and exceedingly mediocre food can do for the soul if a Christian is willing. Now, I have to admit that regrettably, I had no consistent habit of prayer or time in Scripture before Gleanings, and it should therefore come as no surprise that I also felt I had no purpose in the coming months before Gleanings. But there I found that when a Christian is willing to sacrifice everything, to burn away all the vain things that try to pull us away from God, they can find their ultimate purpose, to simply serve the Lord with all one has. And the future is often unclear. There might not be an overarching goal to work towards every day, but there is each day to serve the Lord. And that's enough for me, and that's been enough since.
All right, good morning. I'm Janelle. I'm going to read what I wrote because I'm not great. Just going off the cuff, I end up blabbering and stuttering. So I had the privilege of getting to serve as a chaperone at Gleanings with the high schoolers this year. And I really do mean that it was a privilege. It's not because I like being in the sweltering heat and dealing with peach goop. It was the ability to serve the Lord in such a tangible way. I had been to Gleanings before during soup season, and my older kids had been several times during peach season. So I knew somewhat of what I was getting into. I'd actually been wanting to go for the past few years, but it had been difficult for me to go with VBS right after. I helped with the skit, and we have practiced the day after Gleanings is over. And I was really nervous about it being too much, but this year I decided to just go for it, and I'm so glad I did. Gleanings for the Hungry is a special place. From the moment we arrived, there is this peace that watches over you. It's strange because it almost feels like you're home. You really feel God's presence and see Him moving, working to feed the hungry, physically and spiritually, but also working in the hearts of those volunteering. Gleanings itself is a mission field. Not everybody that comes is a Christian. So it's neat the conversations that you could have there that deepen people's faith and bring people to Christ that don't know Him. So every morning we'd collect the dried peaches that were laid out in the week before, and then we'd lay out the fresh ones in the field so they could dry in the sunshine. Even though it was already hot in the morning, it was still fun to watch the field empty stack by stack and then see all the new peaches laid out, showcasing all the hard work from the day before. I was only in the peach factory one day, and then the other days I was helping to seal the bags and box the peaches up and put them on a pallet. It was kind of nice because that area was a lot cooler to work in than the peach factory. After we finished getting the peaches onto the pallets, we spent our time scooping black beans into bags and boxing them and putting them on a pallet, which was nice because it's similar to what we do during soup season. And also, the 4 pallets of black beans, I think that's wrong because I'm pretty sure we did 4 pallets of black beans in one day. So it's got to be more than that because we were hustling. So one thing that I love about Gleanings is that there isn't any small job. I was talking to a young man from another youth group who had hurt his foot somehow, and he was sitting down tearing bags off of a big roll. I sat down with him and tore bags with him, and he seemed a little disappointed that he wasn't doing one of the bigger jobs. I let him know that while it isn't glamorous, the bags were a necessary part in the whole production. If we ran out of bags, then scooping the black beans had to stop until we could get more. It's the same with boxes. You have to have people assemble the boxes, because if you run out, then everything backs up and until you have enough to start packing peaches in the boxes again. So there's always a place to serve at Gleanings. There isn't a small job. And then on the days that was super hot, I tried to remind myself that the peaches needed the hot sunshine. I learned a few months back that in order to dry properly, the peaches really needed the high temperatures. So even though it's nicer to work in the cooler weather, the peaches won't dry properly. So I tried to embrace the heat, knowing that it was beneficial to all the work that we were doing there. So trying to get myself into a good frame of mind. And my most favorite part of this whole trip, though, was actually getting to be with the high schoolers. I loved getting to talk with them, getting to know them better, and also seeing how God was moving in their lives. Seriously, the high schoolers that we have here at Confluence are such a treasure, and it's worth investing in them. If it works out next year, I would love to be able to go back, and I really encourage others here to consider going. You leave tired, but refreshed.
All right, we're going to move on to the Ireland trip, and I'm going to pull up my notes here to remember what it is we're saying. Our church has had a long-time partnership with a ministry in Ireland, and that kind of goes back to our days as a part of Crossroads and now continuing on as Confluence. And historically, that connection in ministry in Ireland has had at its heart a man named Billy Swan and his family. He'll actually be out here in October spending a bit of time with us sharing, and you can meet Billy again then. But within the last few years, Billy has seen the longtime vision of a church being planted in the communities that he's been ministering in for years. And that church is called Family Fellowship. And so that church is now a part of that ministry, and the leadership that Billy is helping raise up is continuing to take the torch as he's kind of stepping off kind of into the background and allowing others to continue the work there and handing off into the next season of ministry. And so that's the partnership that we have with them over there. When I first took my trip, the first trip was in 2017, and it had been a time to serve at one of Billy's family camps. This year, we're looking at 9 years later, there are campers at camp ranging from grandparents in their 50s down to a couple of infants. And you add to that wild mix, 20-something volunteers from Ireland, from Texas, and from from California, and you've got a very full camp and a very full week. Our church sent 6 people, and we partnered with a team from First Presbyterian in Amarillo, Texas, another church that Billy has a relationship with. They sent 15 or so folks, and this is the third year that we've partnered with First Pres, and I'll tell you, it is a real joy to partner with them. One of the treats that you get to experience in this camp, and I think was alluded to in each of these things, Kosovo and Gleanings, is the blessing that it is to serve with other parts of God's kingdom, the larger church as a whole. And you realize God's work is not siloed to us here at Confluence. It's not unique to us. God is working across his church, and it's a joy and a privilege to serve with one another. Now, to try and paint a picture for you about what we're going to do, you might start with one of our youth summer camps as kind of a starting point in your mind. We, like our summer camps, go there to contribute to a ministry that then benefits all year long. So our summer camps here are obviously 1 week, but they're meant to bolster and input into ministry that's taking place across the year. And so all year long, Billy and the folks at Family Fellowship are investing into the people in their community, the sort of folks who will end up on camp. And so camp is a week long. It's an opportunity for people to come out from kind of inner city Dublin, from hard scrabble areas, and to experience a holiday out on the countryside in a beautiful setting. And it's a real change of pace to them. And I want to just paint a picture of kind of a week-long ministry. Again, we're not there just to have a standalone week. That week is intended to invest in what takes place the rest of the year and get people connected to a church that can help them grow even when we've hopped on the plane and headed back home. Now, during camp, there is a mixture of fun activities and spiritual investment. There's a lot of fun to be had across the week and across any given day, but we're always thinking about how we can use a moment to follow out the Great Commission. Is this an opportunity to listen to someone and have them kind of tell us their life story? Is this an opportunity to pray with someone or to talk to them or to just talk about the things that we've been learning? And to help you kind of see what camp is like, I want to just walk you through a specific day. A team of volunteers, all of our kind of team leadership and the core staff of camp, we get together at 9 o'clock in the morning to talk through that day's activities and schedule and then pray for camp. families will start rolling out of their rooms and out of their beds, and we'll help them get ready for breakfast. And after a little of time getting ready for the day, we all come together for first session. The whole camp, grown-ups and children alike, we gather for morning session. And we'll have some Christian camp songs. We'll work on the memory verse that we've been going through across the week, and maybe a review of the previous day, kind of talking through the lessons and the stories that we were looking at the previous day. And then we'll add one more Bible study to our day, to the story. So this year we were working through the first part of Hebrews chapter 11, trying to encourage the folks on camp to continue in their walk with the Lord, using the lives there that we saw in the first part of Hebrews 11 as examples of overcoming different obstacles and headwinds. And it was an important theme, because continuing with the Lord there is difficult in any setting or in any setting in the world, but it seems especially difficult for these folks because there truly are a lot of headwinds and obstacles facing them to walk with the Lord. They don't live in a culture that's at least indifferent towards their walk with the Lord, if not, some supportive like we experience here. They live in a world that is absolutely set against the Lord, and the things that they say in their communities and the things that they're personally wrestling through are very, very difficult. And so encouraging them to walk with the Lord and continue with the Lord is a very needed reminder to them. Following that morning session, there's some free time and then lunch. Following lunch, there's typically an offsite activity where we all caravan to some spot and enjoy time together. That could be a lake, could be a hike in the forest. One day it was swimming at a town's pool and going shopping in the mall. And we just do that with them. We're investing those relationships. So we're there swimming with them or walking around the mall with them. And again, just investing in those relationships. Following that offsite activity, we'll migrate back to camp, grab some dinner, and then have our evening session. And this is where we break into various age groups, from little kids to the middle age to teens and to the adults. And we try to reconnect with the story that was told in the morning and then bring it to them in kind of an age-appropriate fashion and just work through that theme and that idea a bit more. And how that varies, or how that shows up from group to group varies. But again, that's the goal, is to connect these ideas to them in a very personal and understandable way. And by that point, you're thinking, okay, we've made it to the end of the day, but don't go to bed yet. Because when session ends at 8:30, there's still another snack, and there's still another 2.5 hours of daylight. Because at this latitude in Ireland, at this time of the year, the sun doesn't set until 10:30, and it doesn't get dark until 11-ish. And so there's still plenty of time to connect with people. I don't think that I genuinely went to bed before 11:30 midnight at any point during camp. And so it's a full day of ministry, it's a full day of activity, and you do that each day from Sunday afternoon till Saturday morning. It is a truly full week. And I want to just wrap up by kind of taking it from the abstract 30,000 foot level and bring it down to a brief introduction to one of the families that stood out to me at camp this year. I apologize, I don't have a picture. I looked at this year's pictures, and this is true confession. I have a picture of our team when we left here in the parking lot and then outside of our hotel when we came back. I literally have no pictures for anything that happened during camp. So this one tells you I'm terrible at taking pictures for any notable thing. And two, I've been to a camp or two, and so nothing was really standing out as like, I need to take a picture of this. I've seen these things. So apologies that I don't have pictures to go with these stories. You'll have to picture this family in your mind. I want you to picture a single mom in her 20s. Her name is Markayla. And she has 4 kids, ranging from a teenage girl who's 15-ish on down to a couple of little guys, little boys. Last year, she was at camp after being at a time of incarceration and rehab. And she was at that camp freshly reunited with her kids. And God has been getting a hold of her and allowing her to make some incredible transformation in her life. But she's effectively homeless. And thankfully for her in Ireland, that means she can kind of tap into their social network, their social support system. And that social support system has put her and her 4 kids up in a hotel room. Now, that is much better than being homeless on the streets. But as a dad of 4, I can't imagine trying to raise my kids on my own in a hotel room. You have no kitchen available to you. How are you going to make meals? Where are you going to put their stuff? How are you going to make sure they get an education? How are you going to think about trying to get yourself ahead in life and get your feet underneath you? And my heart was just, on the one hand, thankful to see where Markayla is at compared to where she could be, but breaking for the comparison between my life and hers and where I would hope to see her and her family coming forward. When we dropped her and her family off at the end of the camp and the minibus brought our team back into Dublin, and she was one of our first stops to drop her off, again, my heart just sunk as we pulled into a hotel parking lot, and I knew that was going to be home for them for the indefinite future. But thankfully, God has been getting a hold of her life. And on Monday night, she was already saying, gosh, I feel like I'm learning so much, and I didn't realize how I had drifted so far during last year's camp. Without a real healthy community around her, she did what all of us would do without community, and that is we just drift. We unknown to ourselves, unobserved, we just have the tendency to fall away from the Lord, and she noticed that. And thankfully, Monday night, God got her attention, and she realized, I'm further from God than I thought, and I'm thankful to be at camp. And these are the type of obstacles and headwinds that face people who come to camp. Her story is not abnormal for the sort of person who will be at camp. There are a lot of challenges facing Markayla and her kids. And this is why it's so important that a church has been planted there. God is doing a lot of work in Markayla's heart and her life, but she needs support just like we need support. She needs people around her who will encourage her, who will hold her accountable, who will build her up, who will model a life different than what she can see in the community around her. She needs people who will teach her the Bible and show it how it applies to her life. She needs people who will love her kids and be a wholesome counterpoint to what they see in the community around them. The health of family fellowship, the church, is vital to the health of people like Markayla. I'll tell you, the work in Ireland is not a short-term work. The Green Island of Ireland is now a desert, spiritually speaking. Less than 3% of the population would be considered born-again Christians. Less than 3%. So you line 100 people up in a row, and really only two, maybe three of those people would be in that camp where we'd say, yes, that's a born-again, solid believer. The culture of Ireland has shifted to a place where the work of the gospel is now a long-term investment. I picture it like a plant trying to grow up through a sidewalk. Things are difficult. It's not an easy setting. It's hard to see, and it's slow growth. But there are good things happening, and that's one of the things that I was so encouraged about this year, having been back now over a span of 9 years, is watching the growth take place and having a long time to observe that growth. There are tangible changes being made. And I wish I had more time to share more stories with you. If you'd like to hear more stories about other people at camp or what I've seen at the church, I encourage you to grab me after church, or let's make time to grab some coffee, or just sit down in the office and chat if you'd like to know more about Ireland. I'd love to tell you some more stories. Just stepping back, I want to say thank you to the team for coming. It is a blessing to go there. It would be a hard thing to do on my own. And so to have the other five with me, it's such a blessing. So thank you to the team for being there. I want to say thank you to all of you for sending, because no team goes out on its own. We only go as we're sent. We go because people prayed for us. We go because people supported us. We go because people are taking care of our families and our jobs here at home. So thank you so much for sending us. And I want to encourage us as a church, let's continue.
About this missions trip for me was just, it was last year, my wife and I, Kristen here, we just heard Billy, and it was kind of a tug in our heart to say, hey, we really, I haven't been on a missions trip ever. My parents, my dad has, my brother-in-law has from different churches, and I've always seen it as they come back even stronger in the faith. And so I was like, you know, God says we need to be missionaries. I've tried the missionary thing here in our own community, and it's hard for me. I can talk to a lot of people, but it's hard for me to talk about my faith. So when Billy spoke, we said, let's pray about it. Let's just see. My wife's been to multiple places. She's been to different places for missionaries. She spent time and almost stayed there being a teacher, but it was just not the calling for her. So she's here. And we prayed, and then we ended up going. This trip for me has just brought me closer to her, and we were also able, fortunate that because we wanted to go, my niece, McKenna, said, hey, I want to go. And she's a very shy person, very wants to do her stuff. We were fortunate to sit back and see her shine and meet other people. And she was a great person with kids, and she was great with helping. And she also, it was great because there were kids her age there, and we didn't think there were. We were like, oh, there's not gonna be any other kids. There were kids from Texas, all the way from high school age kids. We even had some people that were on the Texas team that I think were in their 70s and had been there like four times. So there are, I don't know if there's any more pictures on there for us, but there was, I saw one, I was apparently got in trouble. I'm gonna say this, I got in trouble because apparently I wasn't supposed to try hard. I didn't even try hard at this game, and apparently they all got mad at me because I beat a sixth grader at a game. And I wasn't even trying, but he was practicing and flipped the bottle 10 times and I only did it once. So there was, I don't know any, is there any other pictures that are up there for our trip? Okay, well, there was one picture and I forgot to have you put up there. There was, who was the guy that played guitar? Chuck. So Chuck is a really charismatic bass player from Texas. He's like, you know what? I'm not that great of a singer, but it's camp songs. I can get away with it. Well, Chuck, as most of us did from the United States, and it all got sick at one point in time with the flu. Oh, it was a terrible 24-hour bug. But we were supposed to do a campfire. And I play music, but I don't play guitar in front of people. I play in my house. I play for like friends. And I'm like, I'm a little scared here. So they said, does anyone know? And Chuck's like, you seem like you can play. Can you cover me for tonight? So I found the one place I could get reception in the tiny little camp, found the songs, practiced them for 10 minutes. And then apparently I knew more than I thought I did. I don't sing, so I had one of the other people singing. But the camp, this is really cool. The camp and all the other campers knew, surprisingly, aren't all Christians, but they've heard Christian songs. So for me, it's, what I learned at this camp is that you can make great connections with people, and you don't just have to do it across the as they call it, the pond. You don't have to go 6,000 miles to do it. You can do it in your backyard. Another example real quick is I work doing delivery driving, and they've added where we have to have a helper with us. I had a person they put me with Monday through Thursday, every single day. God, as I was coming on this trip, started me early by talking to him. He asked me questions of, hey, I don't believe in Jesus, but I think there's something out there. I've heard of this Jesus. I've heard of this Christian thing. What do you think about this? And so it was my time to shine. And then that made me more comfortable with going to this camp and seeing families. There were two people that my wife and I really connected with. Our two leaders, Damo and Jeanette, they are the most funny people you'll ever meet. If you ever go and God pulls your heartstring, you need to meet those two people. They're the funniest people you ever meet. But that guy knows more Bible than I think I've ever even imagined. He is knows things, history about the Bible. He could come here and probably preach a whole month long of just the intricacies of the Bible that most people don't even know is in the Bible. So I learned so much just from him, and he has taught me, go in and read your Bible and don't just read the word on the page, but read the words that are not there in between each word. So thank you everybody for sending us. It's a blessing that you guys pray every single day, and if your heartstrings are being tugged, don't say no. It is the best opportunity. And this trip is not hard to go on because you don't need to learn another language. You just need to know how to understand the guy that is on moonshiners and has accents. If you can understand that, then you can go to Ireland because people are.
Good morning, church. I'm Becca. So nice to see all your faces. I do kids ministry up in the preschool. So joining the family camp is just feels like an extension, what Paul was saying, of what we do here. So Jason gave a really great, wonderful overview of Family Fellowship Camp, much better than I could do, so thank you. I just want to share about a couple of my favorite moments, giving out Bibles. One was to my friend Wendy, but let me back up. Callie and I had gone to a retreat back in April where we joined the women of Family Fellowship on their women's retreat. Wendy shared with us that she didn't have a Bible. She's dyslexic, so reading a traditional one is difficult for her, so she basically gave up trying and relies on other people, asks questions, just relies on their knowledge. But so Kelly and I, amazingly enough, both independently decided that we'd get her a Bible without sharing or talking about it. So I had the privilege of handing it to her while we were there, and she was overjoyed. She cried, she FaceTimed her sister, she had something that was good for her, and had multiple things that made it so she can read it and she could find the knowledge that she desperately wanted. So that was a neat thing that I got to be a part of, what God was doing already in her. And then there's this little boy, Jason. I think he's 7. He raised his hand for every question. He knew all the answers to. He just wanted to share that he knew. It was so sweet. I overheard that he didn't have a Bible, and I was surprised because he was very knowledgeable. So I connected with his mom. You know her name, Markayla. I asked if it was okay if I could give her a Bible, or him a Bible. And she got so excited. She said, "Can I read it too? It's a kid's Bible. I'll understand it." I totally connected with that, because you read in King James Version, it's going to be difficult, and sometimes that's what they think is the right Bible to read. But I said, "Yeah, you read it too." And what's neat, let me back up a little bit. Every year, my love language is gift giving, so every year when we connect with a family, I like to get a little gift for everyone, but we don't know who the family is till we get there, so I just kind of buy and hope that I have enough. Well, every year, God is so faithful, and he just gives me what I need for that exact family. So this year, I got 2 gifts for an older girl, for a younger girl. And I got 2 gifts for boys, about the same age. Well, Markayla's family has a 15-year-old girl, Madison, a 9-year-old girl, Ella, and then 2 boys, Jason and Danny. So I just happened to get the right gifts for the right family that I didn't know about. God is so good. And that Bible, that kid's Bible. And I packed it up and I handed it to her and I was explaining the gifts. Evan got her a little soothing candle, and she said, "But where's the Bible? I want the Bible." It's like, it's down at the bottom. It's right there. I wrote all their names in it. I made sure to spell all the names right from her auntie. Anyway, so I gave it to her, and she and I both just cried together, and it was just a moment of God saw her and knew exactly what she needed, and God is so good. And every time I'm there, this is my 4th time. I don't know if I said that, but I just see what God is doing in all the world, here and abroad. So thank you.
Well, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to let them go down in just a minute because I know they'll appreciate that. Today is a communion Sunday, so in a moment when they go down, I'm going to bring the worship team up. There'll be an opportunity for you to grab your kiddos before we take that together. But I hope this morning what you've heard, church, is that ministry and missions takes many different forms. It's going to look different when you invite your neighbor next door over for dinner, or if you get on a flight and go to Ireland or Kosovo, or you jump in a car and drive to Fresno and can peaches. It's going to look different if you serve in kids' ministry, or if you're greeting at the door on a Sunday, or if you go out on the corner of the street and you start sharing the gospel with anybody walking by, or you see an opportunity at the store and you just ask if you can pray for somebody. Some of you will go, some of you will stay. Some of you are going to financially support somebody. Some of you are going to prayerfully support somebody. But wherever you are, and whatever you do, we are all called to the great commission of making disciples of Jesus Christ. There's not a person in here that can call themselves a believer and say, I'm the exception to that rule. Christ has called you to himself. He has filled you with his Holy Spirit, and he has called you to go out and make disciples. And I was standing that, one, we have victory in Christ Jesus. We have the power of God on our side, so we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. He has given us the whole armor of God, and he's given us our marching orders. And he didn't say, stay. He didn't say, hide. He called us to go out and make disciples. And so, church, I hope and I pray that the Lord is stirring in your heart, wherever that is, whatever that is, that you have a part to play in this. That you leave here understanding, maybe in a little bit of a better way, what that call is, where you need to go, and if not, that you would be desperately seeking the Lord because it's time to get in the battle. It's time to start going and sharing about your faith, sharing about the gospel, and seeing what God might want to do through an interaction you can have. Paul said it first, but don't underestimate the influence that you have and the opportunity that God is presenting before you to be faithful with that conversation, with that interaction, to share the gospel and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Okay, church, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to let these guys head on down. Thank you so much for being here and sharing this morning. And as they make their way down, I'm also going to invite the worship team to come back up, and we're going to move back into worship through song, and we're going to prepare to take communion together. Now, parents, if you have kiddos, older kiddos who are outside in any of these classrooms, during this first song of worship, we want you to go and grab them and bring them back in here so they can be a part of this with us. If you have younger kids who are upstairs in these classrooms, they can stay there during communion, and you can grab them after we're finished. But we're going to take communion together today and remember what's been done for us. Remember the sacrifice of Jesus for us. And we'll take this together after that first song. But I want to be clear with you as well. Communion's only for believers. If you're not a believer and you're here this morning, we're glad you came. But we would ask you to just pass on this or to make a decision this morning to give your life to Jesus Christ. Because this is only for believers, those who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And we do this in remembrance of his death on the cross for our sins, his body broken, his blood that was shed. Parents, if your children are too young to fully understand and be able to take this in a worthy manner, then we would also ask you as parents to withhold that from them. If they are at an age where you've had this conversation and you believe that they can take this in a worthy manner, then let them do that. But regardless, we want those older kids to be in here, to be a part of this, and to see what it looks like to take this in a worthy manner. But before we move to the song of worship and grab our kiddos for communion, I just want to ask, and maybe this feels like an odd Sunday to do this, but I just never know who's in the room. And part of the Great Commission is to preach the gospel. And maybe there's somebody that came today and you have yet to give your life to Jesus Christ. And before we move on to this, we want to give you an opportunity to get right with the Lord. So if you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ and he's put it on your heart you need to this morning, I just want to ask if that's you, if you would raise your hand or stand up so we can pray for you this morning and get that right before we move on to this. Is there anybody this morning? Okay, well then, church, we're going to sing and worship the Lord. and then we're going to move to communion. Would you stand with me as we pray and go before the Lord at this time? God, we thank you for the reminder this morning of your great commission. Thank you that you are a God who has a plan, and though you could do it far better without us, you choose to involve us. Thank you, God, that you don't send us out alone. You promise to go with us, to go before us. Thank you, God, that we don't have to wonder. That you've made clear what is your plan for us. What is the gospel? And Lord, I pray this morning that we would be a people unashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Lord, I pray for every man in this room, every woman in this room, every child in this room. God, that even now you would be putting on their heart a person, a place, an opportunity where you are calling them to step into that mission. God, we want to be a church that is faithful. God, we want to be a church that is stepping into those opportunities. We want to be the salt and the light in this area. So, Lord, would you embolden us by your Holy Spirit? Help us to leave this place, Lord, with courage and not fear, with a love for the lost, to be willing to speak the truth in love. And God, I pray that we would be guilty of the same thing your disciples were, of a people who were turning the world upside down, and that it would be for your glory, God. We thank you for what you've done and are doing these different places overseas and places right outside our front door. And God, we pray that you would continue to raise up your church and equip us for that work, and that we would be faithful to walk in it. We love you, Jesus, and it's in your matchless name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's worship the Lord.